Good morning and welcome back to JR Morning on a Monday. And you know, on Monday is when we speak with the folks over at Cranes. This Cranes Detroit interview brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. Let's say good morning to Mike Lee, managing editor of Cranes Detroit Business. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Lloyd. How are you?
Fine. Hey,
Mike, it's Jeff Donofrio here from Business Leaders from Michigan, too. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know, I was invited to this ribbon cutting last Friday that was on and then it wasn't on the Gordie Howe Bridge. Tell us what's going on there. It seems like a lot of back and forth the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a mystery still exactly where things stand. Obviously, last week there was supposed to be a ribbon cutting that was abruptly canceled. You know, today was, at least according to some reports, traffic was supposed to start flowing. The question here now is what's next? And honestly, not many of the players are talking, at least not publicly, in terms of what has to happen, what are Trump's demands in order to allow this bridge to open. One person who was talking last week was Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall, who does not speak for Trump, but certainly is a Trump ally. And he was floating the ideas of a 50-50 revenue split of tolls as the agreement stands. Canada was supposed to collect the tolls for years until the bridge is paid for, because Canada paid for it in the first place. In the end, this is Hall also talked about giving U.S. greater say in how the bridge is operated. But do we know exactly what the demand is, what the conversation stands? Right now, we don't. The bottom line is this bridge isn't going to open until President Trump agrees to it, by all appearances. So now it sits in the traffic, massive commercial traffic that crosses the border, especially in Detroit. A very busy border crossing will continue to use the 98-year-old Ambassador Bridge.
Mike, we know about Fifth Third's acquisition of Comerica Bank, and it's going to be closing some of those Comerica Bank branches later on this year. By doing that, it's going to be some real estate available.
Yeah, all closings create an opportunity, and Fifth Third is closing 75 bank branches where they had overlap in Michigan. And that's creating opportunities in real estate for new tenants. The branches are supposed to close in early September. They're the result of Fifth Third buying Comerica early this year. Closures are concentrated in Metro Detroit, 21 in Oakland County, 19 in Wayne County, 13 in Macomb County, and a lot of them are already on the market. They have appealed to a lot of different potential users. What's next is always an important question. They usually are on, visible corner lots with, good traffic passing by, fast food chains, car washes, restaurants, could be interested in it, or medical and dental offices are also common. I thought it was interesting that since a lot of these locations already have drive-through permits, that makes it easier for a restaurant to move in. One thing they don't allow typically is other banks to move in. Usually the deed restrictions bar other banks coming in to compete with the existing Fifth Thirds, and the buildings have, the big heavy vaults, which may or may not get in the way of any reuse. Experts say that the best locations will fill up quickly, and the less good locations could sit empty for a very long time.
That's pretty amazing. And Mike, I hear, too, that we've got a bit of a growing tennis tournament here in Metro Detroit that's become one of the hottest stops on the pro circuit.
Yeah, Metro Detroit has not historically been a hotbed of professional tennis. But 4 years ago, the creation of the Cranbrook Tennis Classic in Bloomfield Hills, it's on the ATP Challenger Tournament, which is sort of like the second tier down below the top level of tennis, but it is a professional organization. It was founded in 2022 by David DeMuth, who's a local advertising and marketing executive, and it's called the ATP. Was named the tournament of the year on the ATP Challenger Tour last year after only 4 years in existence. Runs July 19th through 26th this year. Its purse has grown to $230,000, up from just $50,000 at the beginning. And it's climbed to what they call ATP 125 status, which makes it among the top events on that circuit. David DeMuth had never run a tennis tournament before, but he approached it like building a brand, as a marketing executive would, focusing on every touch point and every detail of the player experience and the fan experience. It's worked. Players from 19 countries competed last year. Attendance is up to about 5,000. And former Wimbledon quarterfinalist Bernard Tomic called it the best run challenger event in the world. So we've got a growing center of professional tennis right here in Metro Detroit at Cranbrook. July 19th through 26th.
All right. Mike Lee, managing editor, Crane's Detroit Business. Always a pleasure speaking with you, my friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you.
I want to ask you before we go to break, did you watch any of the NBA playoff, the NBA finals?
I watched it up until when the Pistons decided they weren't ready to move on, but that was okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, and I think, you know, there's still some things that we need, some tools that we need on the Pistons, and I think we'll get those tools during the offseason. I think we'll be hard to beat next year.
This was a great season for the Pistons. And, you know, I think, you know, look a couple years ago at how far they've come.
They had won like 14 games or something like that. Like, yeah. So that's a big deal. But I was watching the finals, and I just did not think that New York could beat any of the top West teams at the time, which was OKC and San Antonio. I just didn't think it was going to happen. Yeah. But they came, they fought it, they did it, and I just don't understand after the fact why New York just really kind of went crazy. I mean, they celebrated, but some of the celebrations were like overboard, you know, climbing with poles and fighting police and fighting each other, you know. It was a little crazy.
Everybody loves an underdog, right?
They do.
So especially when an underdog wins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, but great. They did a great job. I got to take my hat off to the New York Knicks, man. They hadn't won a championship in 53 years.
Yeah.
Savor it. Coming up, 6:35, Rachel Stewart. She is the CEO of Gardner White Furniture. We'll be speaking with her momentarily here on JR Morning. Stay tuned.